Well, no doubt if you've been a Christian for any period of time, you have probably heard of the rapture. How many of you guys know what have heard of the rapture? Go ahead and raise your hand up. All right, so most of you guys have heard of it. It is the teaching from the Bible that one day God is going to return for his people, but one day that we're going to be caught up, that is, that we are going to be taken from the earth. We will not see death physically. And there are only two instances in the Bible's history that has what we might term as a rapture or a catching up, and that happened to Elijah. Elijah was caught up to heaven in the chariots of fire, and the other was that it was Enoch. It said that he did not see death. And so it's happened before, but it hasn't happened on a mass scale. And people kind of think about, well, wow, that's kind of, it's hard to imagine or maybe hard to believe. Well, we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again from the dead. Amen? But he didn't just do it as an example. He did it to show this is the way it's going to be. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. This concept that we're going to be caught up, that the rapture of the church is going to happen without warning. It's often described Jesus coming as a thief in the night. In other words, like people that aren't expecting it, you know, they're going to be caught unawares. And the first thing I want to say, though, is I want to make two points. One, this teaching of the rapture is not a recent invention of the church. It's not something that we just made up. Some people believe that, it's just not really in Scripture. There's no word rapture in the Bible and something that we made up. No, there is Scripture, and I'm going to go over that today. The second really is this. Those who believe the church will go through the tribulation period, if you're not sure what that is, that's 7 years of tribulation, or we see the Antichrist appears on the scene. There's going to be persecution of the church or persecution of believers, and the idea that then the last half of that, the last 3.5 years, you see the wrath of God being poured out, and then Jesus finally comes, and there's a new heaven and a new earth. No, it's a lot of information if you're not familiar with the teaching. But there is a debate about really if the church is going to be taken up out of everything. Or some people believe we're going to go through the tribulation period. And so they will call that post-tribulational. And what I teach is a pre-tribulational rapture. That's the idea that we're going to be caught up before this period. Now, people that say that we're going to the church is going to be here and have to go through the tribulation, often accuse people like me of being false teachers. And they say that you're just trying to preach a sugar-coated message so that people think that they're going to get out of having to be persecuted. And that's really unfair, and it's also an insult to every person that is being persecuted because of their faith today, and also those that are martyred. So we have to look at the bigger picture. The rapture isn't about us being protected from persecution. Jesus says, in this life, you will have many troubles, yes? And so it's not about that, and I want to talk to you about that today. So where does it come from? First, let's look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Paul had to encourage some people because there were false teachers saying that the Lord had already come. And this is what he says in verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this, we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together to be with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Amen? That's some good news. Now, Lord. Now. Right now would be a great time, right? Praise the Lord. So we're looking forward to that. It's not just made up. It's in the scripture that we're caught up. Now, where's the word rapture? The Greek word is harpizo, and that is means to a catching away or being caught up. The Latin Bible and the Latin Vulgate, which was translated in the early 4th century by Jerome, has the word raptura, which we get the word rapture. So rapture is in the Bible. See? So it's not something made up. In this catching up, what is this happening? What is happening here? Well, those that have passed away are going to rise to new life in new bodies. Those who of us that are still alive are going to be caught up, and we're all going to be together with the Lord. And we're all going to see one another. So even those that have passed on before us, we're going to see them again. Amen? And this is the hope that we have. See, the soul, and let me show you this. The soul is immortal. That's who you are on the inside. This body is mortal. This body's going to fade away. So don't think that this body is going to rise from the dead. We're not going to be zombies, okay? Amen? No. Wrong picture. We're given new bodies. And we see this as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, or at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. So we're going to be changed. What are our bodies going to be like? Well, Philippians 3:20 through 21 says, but our citizenship is in heaven. From it we await the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. So our bodies are going to be like Jesus' post-resurrection bodies. Isn't that awesome? And it's in the Bible. You see, I can stand up here and say anything, but the thing is, this is say it in the Word. We need to have hope. And we should have hope. What's going to happen to our bodies? We're going to change. Look at Jesus. Jesus, imagine, he would just think of being in a place and he would be there. He sat in his post-resurrection body. What did he do? He could eat, but he didn't have to eat, but he could eat if he wanted. He was eating fish, right? So those of you guys are thinking, oh, what am I going to eat? I don't know. I think you can eat anything you want. Imagine that, and you don't have to worry about going to work it off at 24 hour around the corner. You know what I'm saying? Your body is going to be immortal. It's going to be like Jesus. Now, Jesus has the holes in his hands, but we're not necessarily going to have those. We're all the marks and the scars. We're going to have brand new bodies. And you might be thinking, well, okay, we're going to have brand new bodies, but what about those who died and maybe they were cremated? You ever think about that? Wait a minute. Because they call it Christian burial when you put somebody in a coffin and you bury their body, they call it Christian burial, right? And that's kind of tradition. But it doesn't matter if you were cremated. It doesn't matter if you died at sea. It doesn't matter if you were in a horrible accident. It doesn't matter. Think about it this way. Let me help you to understand. How could God give us a new body? You're saying, or change the old body? Think about it this way. How many of you guys have an iPhone or an Android phone? You guys have these phones, right? These smartphones, okay? And what happens to these sometimes? You put a lot of data on these, right? So we have pictures, and we have our contacts, and all the people that we know, and everything's in here. But what happens when this falls or it breaks? Or God forbid, you go, oops, and a car runs over it. Just thinking about that right now, it's like, oh, not good, not good. You start sweating, little beads of sweat start forming up here, and you just go, oh my gosh. But there's this thing, how many of you guys know about this thing called the cloud? The cloud. It's basically this internet space. You back up all your stuff, every picture you're taking, every contact, right? It goes up into the cloud. Even if your phone is crushed, you just go, ah, you can go up to the iPhone store, go up to T-Mobile or wherever, go get a brand new phone. Man, that phone does all kinds of stuff because, you know, you waited till there was 3, 4, 5, 6. Finally, your phone broke, so you get this new thing that's got way more features, right? You got this little mini computer in your pocket now, and you go, wow. And guess what you can do? You can download all those pictures, all those contacts, all those things that you had. You didn't lose a bit of that information. It was all backed up in the cloud. Now, we can invent something like that. How much more you think God has our DNA stored in his cloud? Amen? Amen? So we think we're so smart we can invent that. God's way smarter than we are. It doesn't matter what happens to this body. Amen. Okay. It doesn't matter what happens to that either. It doesn't matter what happens to this body. This body's going to go away. He's going to give me a new body. He's got all the information. He's got everything that I need. I don't need to worry how I'm going to get buried there. Or what's going to happen? See, there's a debate, though, over, okay, well, when are we going to be caught up and when are we going to change and are we going to have to go through this tribulation period? Hey, let me tell you, gang, there's about 8 major views of the end times. You have amillennialism. Catholics believe in that. They think we're already in this kingdom age. You have postmillennialism, premillennialism, pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, partial trib. You've got a lot of different views out there, okay? And everybody, you know, thinks that their view is the view. But I have noticed over the years, as I've studied end times prophecy, you got to come with humility. Amen? So this is what I believe. But there's a chance I could be wrong. And maybe somebody else has the correct view. But I go by the scripture. I go by interpreting the Bible. And I think that's what we got to do. Amen? Because, you know, there's only 7 or 8 basic teachings in the Word of God that tie all Christians together. A lot of these issues are secondary, and this is one of them. Do you know Jesus? Do you believe that in the Trinity? Do you believe in his virgin birth? Do you believe that he died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe again that he rose from the dead, that he has power over life and death, and that through him you will be with him forever? And that salvation is not by works but by faith. Amen? You believe in these things. And we ought to draw together, but sometimes we separate on issues like this. And it's not necessary. And so we have to be careful. When we study end times prophecies, it should be an uplift. It should be an encouragement. But if in any way we begin to have a prideful position, we're a lot stronger than you guys, or we know more, than you got to be careful. Amen? And that's what I'm trying to get across. We ought to be encouraged. The point that the Apostle Paul is trying to communicate through his various texts here that he's writing is this concept that we're going to be with God. Don't worry so much about this life. We're going to be with the Lord. One day we will all be with the Lord. And so let's also focus on unity. Let's all be with one another in doing his work, doing his will. And one day we'll be with him. And all these secondary issues, they'll get sorted out. Now, secondary doesn't mean they're not important. It just means, brothers and sisters, let's stop dividing over this. Amen? We're going to see the Lord. That's what's important. Now, if I wanted to, I can argue the various positions in here. I could do a good job on the post-trib side, mid-trib, all that kind of stuff. But I don't want to just do an academic exercise. There's a reason I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. And I'll get a little bit, if you guys are lost on that whole seven-year tribulation thing, also called the 70th week of Daniel, we'll talk about that a little more next week, okay? And I'll provide you guys with some notes on it. Some of you guys are pretty seasoned and knowledgeable. Some of you guys are going, what? We'll fix that. So we are going to be caught up or raptured. The debate is when. Some believe that there's no first, the church is taken out. There's going to be called the day of the Lord, the end of the tribulation period, and that we're caught up to be with him. But it also says that we're coming back, which has some difficulties in itself. It's like, okay, we're caught up to be with God, then we're changed, and then we're coming back with God. So we are caught up. You see it right there. The debate is about timing, about 7 years. And that's only in the premillennial view again. Why is it important to talk about this? Well, the purpose over the rapture, I want to tell you something. The purpose of the rapture is not to protect the church from persecution, but to withdraw the church, which is indwelt with the Holy Spirit as an influence on the world, so the Antichrist might be revealed and deceive many before his and his followers' time of judgment. He's holding back the end of the world. Basically, we're holding back. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit is influencing the world through his church, through his followers, through his people. What do you think is going to happen if the church is gone one day? Everybody who believes, everybody who loves God is just gone in an instant, absent from this world. There would be nothing holding the devil back. Nothing. Nothing would hold him back. So let's escape hard times. The Bible doesn't say that. We're going to have hard times in this life. It's just the reality. The purpose is to take us out. Why do I say that? Because that is we have that in the scripture as well. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6-12. Notice this. Let me get out of your way here. It says, and you know what is restraining him, talking about the devil, was restraining him now so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Now, in this passage, the Antichrist figure is called the man of lawlessness, okay? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders. See, be careful. Just because you see signs and wonders doesn't mean they're from God. You want to know where that's in the Bible? There it is. Okay, I'm not going to tell you something without pointing to the scripture. There it is. And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, and because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. So basically, what's happening here? Massive deception going on in the world. People following the devil's plan. Why? Because they're being deceived. Why are they being deceived? Because they're fully getting vested into something. Because what? They refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. These are not popular verses. Because why? They're true. What's going to happen? That's pretty heavy, right? You don't want to be around for that to happen. The church is restraining the lawless one, or the Antichrist. The church is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. When the church is absent, caught up, harpazo, rapture, taken up out of the world, what happens is a flood happens. of deception. You think there's false teachers today? You ain't seen nothing yet. And you don't want to see what it's going to be like. But we have hope in Jesus that we're going to be with him. Amen? We're covered. We're protected. Again, what if the rapture? You know, I'm not going to get into that. There's a whole nother thing. But I would just say this. God's got our back and our front and our sides. We're his. No one can steal us from his hand. The Bible says that he has not appointed us to wrath, but to salvation. Why would he be here? Why would he pour out his wrath on those that he loves? This makes sense, right? So who are the believers during those are supposed to be those people during the tribulation will become Christian. There will be some. Many theologians believe that these will be Jews that will be turned to Christ, but I believe they will witness, they will go forth, and they will evangelize, and people will still come to God during that time. But wow, wouldn't you want to come to Jesus before? Do you really want to wait? Well, let's wait and see and figure that. Okay, everybody's gone. I'm the only one here and everybody's history. Everybody's gone. Have you guys seen those movies, right? Left Behind, all of a sudden you're just sitting there. I remember seeing Thief in the Night, and I'm sorry, it's just got the music, it's got the bell bottoms and everything. I mean, this thing is so ancient, but it is the cheesiest thing. But the scariest thing was, you know, people coming home, all of a sudden, boom, whole family is just gone. And I remember as a kid going, oh. I made sure I knew the Lord, yeah. Now, some people might make fun of it and think, that's crazy, you Christians are nuts. Well, they already think are nuts, so let's just add one more thing on, you know what I mean? They already think we're crazy, so whatever. I don't mind being crazy as long as I'm right. Amen. So our job then, basically that's a rapture, right? That's it. That's what it is. You know, the catching up. Those are the scriptures that you need. And if you didn't get, go ahead and grab a bulletin. It has the scriptures in there. Matthew 20:19, Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, right? Why is it important to learn about the rapture? So we can have hope. But so what? We know that it can come at any moment. We know that Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour, right? He can come back at any moment for his church. And don't we want more people to come with us? If you're going someplace really good, don't you want to invite people with you? I know sometimes you want to be alone, but I'm just not in this case. You want people to be with you, right? You want to take people with you. That's why we witness. That's why we evangelize. That's why we share the gospel. But I know, because there is a part of me that I feel awkward walking up talking to strangers. I know you guys, this is home base for me, so this isn't that hard. It's when I'm out and about and talking to people I've never met before. Sometimes it could be awkward. You guys ever feel awkward talking to people about Jesus? Nah, it's just so easy, right? No, it's hard. I remember doing going out on a pier. I don't know, it was 18, 19, whatever. Okay, Dave, we're going to go witnessing. Okay, what's this? We're going to go down to the pier, we're going to hand out these tracts, and we're going to start talking to people that we don't know. Yes. So I'm just like, handful of tracts, and we go down the pier and start handing out tracks, and people are like, oh, okay, and or like, oh, and just walk around you. You know, if you try and do that in Japan, you know, you go to a soccer or something, you try and hand out things, they're like, they'll walk around you like that. I thought that was really interesting. It was, okay. But I would start talking and strike up a conversation. But they would always have these questions, right? And you guys know I love those apologetics and answering Bible questions. But sometimes it's awkward. Because how do I talk to people? And I just want to invite them to church or want to talk to them about Jesus. Or They have the questions. Maybe I don't know the answer. Well, we've got a. I got something for you. And there's a link on our website to this. And what I want to do is I want to have. I need some usher, a couple volunteers, some guys. Amos here and Mark and Heinrich maybe. Okay. Why don't you guys just start handing these things out? I know I just got one bag, but here you go. Just if. Every person is going to get 5 of these cards, okay? So when I say I'm going to give you something, I'm actually giving something to you here. So just go ahead and just hand these out. And I got some more, a little bit more, but. So I joined with TrueLife.org. I partnered our church up with them. And what it is they have created a website that answers tons of questions. And they're in line with what we teach and what we believe. And I checked that out already. He just wants to, they just want to really help people in the church, invite people to church. And you might strike up a conversation. And so there's 5 cards in here. And I'm going to challenge you this week to give 5 cards to 5 different people now. But to give... Just invite 5 people to church, giving them that card. Now, that shows where we are and everything. That thing on the back is they have answers to all kinds of questions. And you might be wondering, well, how do we do this? Glad you asked. I've got a short video that I will show you how this is done. And, okay. And Kappa will help me with this one.
Hi there, I'm Jesse, the founder of TrueLife.org, and we're here at Thomas Road Baptist Church to help show you how easy it is to evangelize and invite people with these TrueLife.org invitation cards.
Hey, what's up, Jesse?
Good to see you guys. Happy to be here. Thank you for coming. So we're encouraging evangelism and invitation in churches, not just Thomas Road Baptist Church, but your church as well. I'm sure your pastor probably gave you a TrueLife.org card today to hand out. And these cards are so unique because it takes the fear away from evangelism and invitation. That means that we don't have to be afraid of the questions that might be asked, or the time it's going to take, or not having a starting point. What if the recipient is afraid of going to church? Well, they can easily go online and get free video answers to questions like, how do we get the Bible? Why do bad things happen? Where do you go when you die? Does God love gay people? Is Mormonism true? Are Jehovah's Witnesses right? And the list goes on and on for any worldview. And then, of course, they can easily find your church on the Church Finder. Hey, Will, so we're pulling up to a gas station right now, and all I need you to do is just go out and simply say, hey, I'd love to have you come to my church on Sunday. If you have any questions, you can go online and get video answers, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. God bless you. I'm praying for you, okay?
Let's see what happens.
Hi, excuse me. How are you ladies doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I don't know if you go to a church anywhere in the area, but I'd like to invite you to Thomas Road Church, see here. And if you don't have any time to make it to church right yet, you can see on the back, truelife.org, where you get free video answers to life's hard questions. And there's all kinds of different videos on there to answer questions people have, like, is there a God? Why do we suffer? And things like that. So take a look at it. Remember, the Lord loves you.
Well, do you feel better right now? I mean, do you feel relieved that, you know, at first you feel like a little bit...
A little nervous at first, yeah. But now I know I've given opportunity to people to find answers in God's Word, and that's exciting, you know?
That's awesome. Well, you did a great job.
And they seem to be very open to it.
Sure. Would you suggest the same for people watching?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Go out and do it. It's easy.
Katrina, it's your turn.
Oh, yes.
We're going to have some fun.
Yes.
You ready to do this?
Yes. I'm a good nose, though.
You are? Yeah, I'm a little nervous for you, too. I know you're going to do well, though.
Because I've never done this before. I always wanted to, but I'm nervous, but I'm going to do it.
I'm praying for you, sister. I know you're going to do fine. Here we are. This is good. Hey, you want to talk? You can talk to her.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. I would love to come. You to come to my church next
week. I don't go to your church. I don't
care. You don't go to church. You know, you can go online too if you want to. Okay. God bless you. So what you do is just keep going. Okay?
Yeah.
and someone else will take the card.
Yeah.
Since she didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. Do you go to church?
Sometimes.
Oh, great. That's good. So I would love to see you. I mean, come over to my church next week. And if you're not ready, you can always go onto this website, like truelife.org. And there are some free video answers.
Okay.
But there are a lot of questions we have sometimes. And there are a lot of videos explaining those questions. And you can always go and check those videos and have the answers.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank it's you. Nice meeting you. Have nice a great day. God
you
bless.
Too.
Yeah.
Hey, Will.
Yeah.
Man, we had a great time in there.
Oh, yeah.
Katrina surprised me. I mean, I knew she was going to do good, but she did really, really good.
Thank you.
You did.
Well, you know what happened?
What happened?
Initially, there was one lady who didn't want to take the card.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I'm not going to come to church. And I was really, you know. But
say.
Then I didn't give up.
Yeah.
And he was with me. And we went on ahead. And we gave the cards to a lot of people. And surprisingly, it wasn't really hard, and
no.
They were really receptive, and I loved it. Yeah.
Yes, well, I'm so thankful that you just did my job. I don't have to explain nearly as much anymore to you back in the sanctuaries. We're not a different person than you. We are made in God's image just like you are, and every Christian has the opportunity to do this. And I can promise you from the bottom of my heart that there is nothing better than to share your faith with people. So I'm challenging you today. Share your faith, hand out these cards, and see what God can do in your life and in the lives of others.
So what do you guys think? How many of you guys think that you can do this? You can hand out five cards to people. Praise the Lord. Okay, because I'm going to ask you next week, now don't ditch on me. I'm going to ask you, how is it? But isn't that cool? It's easy, right? Now, doesn't that fit Lohosa? Because what do? We run into people, we talk story. You talk story for like 15 minutes next to somebody. It's different, yeah, than the mainland. And all you do is just hand this card. Oh, even if you don't know them all that well, just, oh, yeah, hey, no, you ever want to go to church? Boom, right? Easy, right? And I just encourage you. I think this is a good tool. Yeah, would you agree? It's pretty cool. It makes it easy. I know from her firsthand. So I'm going to be handing out the cards too. And you can ask me, Dave, did you hand out the cards? Because there's parts of me that are shy too. Well, I'm going to do it. Let's do that. Because we want people to know Jesus. Amen? Let me say a prayer for you. Father God, we come before you, Lord, and I just pray right now your anointing power, Lord, on every heart that is here, every man, woman, and child, Lord. I pray, Lord, that as we would go out and about, Lord, this week, that you just put a special anointing on each and every one, Lord, that as we step out of our comfort zone just a little and begin to invite our friends and our neighbors and people maybe that we don't even know to church, God, you know, you would just work in a powerful way. You would move, Lord. We pray, Lord, prepare the road, Lord God. Prepare the hearts, Lord, of the people that we're going to run into. Those seemingly chance encounters, but they're not chance encounters. We know, Lord, that as we step out in faith, that you're going to provide, Lord, the opportunities, Lord. And that open our eyes to when we have those opportunities, as we have those cards with us in our pocket or purse or wallet, Lord, that we can hand those out, Lord, in all sincerity. Because, Lord, nothing is more important than coming to know you as our Savior. And we want that for everyone around us, Lord. Give us boldness. Give us courage. Go with us, we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, God bless you guys. You have a great week.